I reckon so. Got you in here.
Well, you will have to come down.
What I was gonna do, I was gonna just wait till one got through.
You could have.
Where you want this, right here?
Yeah.
Don't you wobble on the axle standing there. Cause I sure ain't able to pick you up.
I don't believe how many times this weekend I've been trying to prop him up, set him up, pull him up.
This morning I went with the restroom, which I'm sleeping on my recliner in the study.
Uh-huh.
And I walking into the study, and I had to turn around to sit down in the recliner. And when I turned around, I fell backwards, and when I fell backwards right in the middle of the two bookcases there.
Oh,
and
nice.
I had my cane, they didn't even hear me. I had my cane, and I put the cane right in front of me, and I pressed down on that cane. I said, it's going through the floor, or it's going to keep me right here.
Austin,
I tell you.
That's unusual.
Me too, and they got me working till Wednesday before I get a day off. They've been making me work 5 days in a row. Was that it, Frank?
Yep. Do they want you over as a patient?
That wouldn't be my choice.
Huh?
That wouldn't be my choice.
Well, won't you ask to live in health, don't they?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, me. Well. Do what, Bro Bill?
Sit down.
There's one scripture that I'm going to read this morning. It's in Genesis. Chapter 50 and verse 23. And you'll say, just one verse, yeah. But I'll tell you one thing. If you really read that chapter and read it two or three times and really pray and ask the Lord to give you something, I'll tell you what, He'll give you. There's a whole lot in that one verse. A whole lot there. And I know. And these pages. Genesis chapter 50. And verse 23. No, it ain't 23. What was it? I had it written down. 50. What was it? Well, what it's speaking about, it was speaking about Joseph here and the things that Joseph was trying to come to realization that's what he was going to have to end up doing, because, you know, Joseph, he went through a whole lot of trials, and I think every one of them went through trials. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, he went through trials when he was here on earth. But in that one verse, and I can't find it right here to save my life. But what that one verse is speaking about Joseph praying and asking for the Lord's leadership in doing what is right unto the Lord. And where Joseph will be able to go into the new year and the days ahead with a new desire on his heart. And that desire that the Lord had put on his heart was when he even come into the sanctuaries or anytime every day, what he would do, he would get on his knees and he'd get on his face towards the Lord. And he would ask the Lord that day on one particular thing. And then he would pray for it. He'd pray every day for it. The first one that he had was that he was faithful. Faithful. He came and he got on his knees, and that's what he begged for. He begged for the Lord to search his body out and to help him with his needs. And not only that, just to help him with what he had to accomplish. And he done it every day. And every day he had a different one. And I believe I'm trying to go by memory, but the second one, the first one's faithful. And the second one was doing right toward other people. Doing right toward other people. Because Joseph said that to doing right to other people, you will have more of a chance and win them to the Lord. You would have more of a chance in being able to talk to them one-on-one. And you would have a better chance in just talking to them. But he said the first thing you need to do, you need to ask the Lord to help you in what you're going to say that day. And the Lord always come back and he'd tell Joseph, he told Abraham, and he told them all. He says, let them remember that they have a friend. And that friend is closer than any family member that they have. And that's what he done. He always remembered the friend. And it wasn't friends, it was friend. One friend. And he was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking about God the Father and God the Son. That's what Joseph was talking about. That's what the Lord was talking to him about. That you must reiterate. Yes, that we all have a friend, but how close is that friend? How close is that friend to us? Can we depend on that friend? Can we let's see, what was it? Can we idolize him? Can we make him our friend? Yeah, we can call Jesus friend. Yeah, he's our friend. But are we the friends of Jesus? Are we his friends? And we need to be the same friend to him as he is to us. And I wish I could remember it. I really do. But it says in chapter 50, in verse 5, it says, "My Father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. Thou shalt thou bury me, thee and bury my father, and I will come again." This is what Joseph is speaking about. He is speaking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection right here. And he's speaking about God the Father, that he would say that God the Father would be with him when he went into the grave and when he faced the things that he was about to face, that Satan was going to put upon him. You know, all the things that Job went through and all the torment he went through and the boils and everything, from his head to the bottom of his feet. And Job losing his family. Job losing his cattle. Job losing all of his land. Losing his home. He did not have anything left but his wife. His wife stayed with him. But I got a feeling maybe some of the things he was going through, she was almost at the point of just giving in. But she didn't. She stood right by him. Why did she stay right by him? Because she knew the vows that she took before the Heavenly Father. Today, individuals today, they want to write their own vows when they get married. The young people do. Now, as far as I'm concerned, after they write them, I will have to read them. But they need to be focused on leaning on the Lord. If you lean on the Lord, and if you allow the Lord to guide them, then there's not a problem that will ever come up. Money problems, family problems, or any other type problem will ever come up that the Lord will not help them through it. He's always there. But sometimes we just don't ask him. That's the reason he don't answer our prayer, because we don't ask him. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, but we'll pray all around what's really tugging in our heart. And when we do that, we're basically saying, "Lord, I got something, and I know I need to confess it to you, but Lord, I just don't think I can. I need to hold on to it." We don't need to hold on to anything. We don't need to hold on to anything what this world has got. We don't need to hold on to anything. Only thing we need to do is just like Jonah did. Jonah got on the boat. We just need to get on the same boat with the Lord, and we just need to hang on because we're going through some storms.
Amen.
And we're going through some trials. But when we go through them storms and trials, as long as the Lord Jesus is steering the boat, we don't have to worry about the waves. We don't have to worry about the storm. We don't have to worry about all the lightning that comes and everything, because we are in the presence of the Lord. We're in the presence of the Lord. That's just like when Jesus was on the boat. And who was it that went out and they saw Jesus on the boat? What did they do? What Peter did? He walked on water. He had his eyes focused right on Jesus. His eyes never moved. His eyelids never blinked at all. But the closer he got to Jesus, then he got to thinking about all the things that Jesus had done. And when he was there with Jesus walking, all the things he'd done. And Peter was walking, and he was walking on the water, just like it was nothing but concrete right up of him. You couldn't even tell if there's any water had even got on the concrete or whatever under his feet, but you couldn't tell it. Why? Because he had his eyes focused on Jesus. What do we have our eyes focused on? Have we ever come to the altar and asked the Lord, said, "Lord, help me that my life, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my legs, my mind, my heart, every bit of it is focused on you." And if we'll do that and ask the Lord to help us with that, that we will be focused on the right things. And the things that he wants us to be focused on, you'll come to find out what kind of friend you have. You got a friend closer than a brother. He won't fail you. But now, I can go out here and I can go visit some of my friends here on earth. I can't say the same thing about them. Because it's going to be sometime, probably that day, or maybe that week, that they may have failed me somehow and causing me to look at them in a different realm, in a different glass. But Joseph, he stayed on his knees. That's what he done. He stayed on his knees. And he was so humble from then on. And he asked the Lord every day to help him. Every day to help him. And when he did, he was right there. Do you think Joseph turned and walked away when the Lord come up to him and said, "Well, Joseph, just wait a little while. Things are going to be okay." You think Joseph just went and walked away from the Lord? No, I don't. Don't say, I don't think he walked away. I think he bowed on his knees and he looked to the Lord and he says, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for even being my friend. Because I know that my true friend will never let me down. Will never let go of my life. Help me. Help me. You know, it's so much in God's word that I don't understand. It's so much here that I don't understand. Really, I don't understand it. But because God said it, I believe it. They say, how can you believe it if you don't understand it? You've got to know the author. And if you know the right author, that's just like a novel right here. You go out and buy that book and everything, and it's got a title at the front of it. And you look at that title, and that title sounds enticing. And what it does is it gets you motivated to where you'll pick it up and you'll start reading it. Now, I don't know about you, but my wife, when she starts something, she's got to finish it. And she needs to finish it in the next 30 minutes, but she can't. I mean, you know, but she's drawn to that title. We need to be drawn to the title of this book, the Holy Bible. You have deity there. And if on my leather here is that it's on the outside of this Bible. I don't have to go into it at all and find anything referencing a deity, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Only thing I have to do is look at the outside and what's written on the outside. And it says Holy Bible. Holy Bible. Holy. When you mention the word holy, that is speaking of deity. That is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done and what he shed for me and you. But Joseph also, he went down on his knees and he asked the Lord to help him in his day-to-day chores. And Joseph saw Ephraim, children of the third generation, the children also of Machiah, the son of Manasseh, was brought before who? Joseph. Why did they bring the children? Why did they bring the people unto Joseph? Why? Because they knew that Joseph, he was on his knees every day asking for something new for that day. But it says right here, it says, the son of Manasseh was brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. But Joseph, he wanted to go to his knees. He always wanted to go down to his knees. And yes, and he could have prayed the same prayer he said, standing up. But the reason he wanted to go to his knees, that was speaking of humility. That was speaking of humility. It was speaking of his love toward his children. And it was speaking towards his foster children, I would say. But he was speaking to everybody when he was on his knees. It won't just about him. It won't even anything at all about him. All of it was about God. And God and his leadership and helping him to go and to meet people and tell people that they have a friend. They have a friend in Jesus. And as long as they have a friend in Jesus, and as long as I have a friend in Jesus, I'm your friend until the day that I go home, and I'm still your friend. I'm your friend until the end. When is the end? With God, there's no end. With God, there's no end. And with Satan in hell, there's no end. Because the individuals that's in the hell, they don't die. They don't lose their breath. The only thing that they have is the same life that they had before, but it's in a little more agony now. I wish there was some way. I wish there was some way the Lord would touch me, touch this church, to where people will start coming in. People want to get saved. You go out and you just visit somebody else. Somebody else, I just happened to call you. And you don't know them. You don't know their name, nothing like that. And you're about ready to hang up, and they said, don't hang up. Please don't hang up. I need some advice. And the advice that they want is how to go about asking the Lord to save their soul. You don't hear that much anymore. They used to do that. You used to hear them call upon people. I mean, I've talked to preachers that's in their 80s and 90 years old. And they said they remember the time when they'd be at home and the phone would ring or something like that. And they would go and they would answer the phone. And they wouldn't know the individual at all.
And they thought maybe they had just called them and wanting this and wanting that and something else. You know, I mean, all this ain't new today. People just calling and wanting us to, wanting them to sell us something or give us something and everything. I mean, they want information. And, you know, people done the same thing back then, but it's not as prevalent as it is today. But the people, they just couldn't understand it. Preachers couldn't understand it back then when people would just call them and say, before you hang up, because I know you don't know me, and you don't recognize this phone number, I know that. But something's been tugging at my heart. And I just want you to be able to teach me how to be saved. What must I do to be saved? The individual still be on the phone, and the preacher be on the phone, and he'd lead him right to the Lord on the phone. Never met him, never seen him, don't know what he looks like or anything. Would lead him on the phone. And then after that, then the preacher would ask him, do you mind giving me your address so I can come over to your house tonight? Because I want to meet you. He said he never had nobody turn him down. He said he'd go to the house, and he said that he'd ask him, he said, this so-and-so here? They'd say, yeah. And he'd tell them who he was. And he said, I just talked to you on the phone. He said, yeah, because I remember the name. I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what else to do. My mind was so confused. My heart was so twisted, I didn't know what to do. And yes, and I had thought about committing suicide. And he says, you know, if I committed suicide, then I knew I would never have a chance to get saved. He said, well, since you won't say before you write, he said, but I'll tell you something. He said, once you say yes to Jesus, there's nothing else that can take away the Lord's answer to you. And he cannot take away anything from you. He was just continue on guiding you and leading you. And he says, and on top of that, you won't never think about it again. He says, I know sometimes you've seen people, Christians, and I know Christians today, that they committed suicide. But it was because of their mind. Because they got in such a shape that the mind just took over. See, because we don't realize how much power that our mind has over us as individuals. Powerful. It's powerful to the point that yes, it can make you do things that you never thought of before. I've even had people to come up to me and I'd be visiting them because I'd end up having a funeral. and the children would come by, or the aunts, they'd come by and say, "Preacher, I thought she was saved. She's in church all the time. She's always talking about the Lord." Well, I said, "Did she ever tell you if she was saved?" She said, "Yes, many a times." She said, "But I know that if you commit suicide, that's the only thing that can keep you going from heaven." And I says, "Don't worry about that. Don't think on them things no more. Because the day that she trusted Jesus, and the day that she asked for Jesus to come into her heart, even God the Father himself could not take that away from her. So please, don't think of it anymore." And I told her, I said, "I want to ask you something. And I don't claim to know everything, because I don't. But I want to ask you this. Would you want to do something for somebody that cared for you?" And I said, "Why would you want to believe that once Jesus saved you, that he can't keep you saved? Even Jesus himself, he cannot go back to the individual. He cannot come back to me, and he can't say, 'Donnie, you didn't get saved. You just thought you did.' He won't even do that, because he can't. Because if he does, he calls God a liar. He's not going to call God a liar. The only one that he can call a liar is Satan, the devil, because he's the father of all lies. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, as we come this far today, Lord, I'm praying, Father, that you will just touch our knees. That, Father, yes, that we are not unable to be able to bow on our knees. Father, you'll see a way to where we can be able to bow on our knees, Father, where we can truly talk to you, and Lord, that you can do something marvelous and something great in our lives. And Father, I'm asking you now, Lord, that for you to, if you see any way possible, any way at all, that you can touch my legs, the way I won't be so weak. I'm not asking, Father, for you just to touch them the way I don't have no more problem with them. I'm just asking for you to touch them where they won't be weak. And Lord, and I pray for Brother Bill, the Father, where he is almost at the same point to where his legs gets weak and he can't walk all that good. And Lord, and me and Brother Bill, we both talked about that we would love to get back out here and start visiting people. But Lord, sometimes it just seems like it's impossible for me to just to get in my automobile and just drive and meet Bill, and to where me and him can just go out. And Father, here in the community, I've had one individual to tell me that if you need somebody to go with you to visit, just to hand out the tracts or just to hang them on the doors or whatever, you just give me a call. I'll go with you, and I'll be glad to do it for you." And I said, "Thank you. I appreciate the offer, and I may call on you." And Father, help us as a group of believers. And Father, that we can always agree on the things that you set forth, Father. Yes, Father, that we can agree to disagree. But Father, help us, Lord. The things that we do will glorify you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.